Monday, kind of reflecting on everything that's happened over the weekend. The Broncos preseason game, they ultimately lose. The Cardinals go for two. They get it. Like I started the show, if this were a regular season game, we would have been mad at Sean Payton for not milking some clock or forcing them to use timeouts. But it's not. Oh! Are you panicking over there?
No.
Sean Payton didn't like the way he handled the end of the game?
I didn't watch the end of the game, so I don't.
You didn't watch the most exciting part of this game?
No.
That was the most exciting part of this. The Broncos go down, score a touchdown. Arizona goes down. They got like a minute left. And they score a touchdown with like 2 seconds remaining to go for two, and they get it.
I saw the update on SportsCenter, or ESPN had updated me.
I don't think you coach this game like a regular game.
No.
I think Sean Payton knows how to handle milking a two-minute clock. I think he knows how to force teams to use timeouts. He wanted to see another play. He wanted to see a team go in the end zone.
I said it last week. In these preseason games, you're not really scheming against the defense you're playing because it's not the same players. They're not running the same stuff. And sometimes you will just do an experimental play where it's just, hey, Russ, just go run this play. It may not work. It's probably not going to work. Just go run it because we need to see what it looks like on film and how a defense reacts to it.
Yeah, and again, Arizona's blitzing everybody. They were in like, we're going to be the best blitzing team in the world.
We need some blitz tape. That's what we got to do.
That's what we want to see, how guys get off blocks. So that's what they were working on. It's practice. The preseason is practice on steroids. So for me to now. If Russ would have thrown, four possessions and he would have thrown through two picks and not advanced for a touchdown at all. I mean, hell, dude, he did set. Russell Wilson drove the Broncos. Well, the first one was the first field goal miss was off of an interception. So you already had good field position. He did make a good throw to get you close, to get you in that spot. But theoretically, when he was leading the offense, they were at a point where they should have scored 6 more points.
So I watched just Russell's clips from that game. Does it sometimes look like it's just something is just difficult?
It just looks hard.
About whether it's the play, whether it's Russ reading or reacting to something, it's just like it's like you're straining to do it. You're straining to throw this ball to that player.
Yeah, it looks complicated. It looks like it's difficult. Everything that's drawn up just looks difficult. And I don't know.
The shovel pass. It's like, you should make that play 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah,
five little out route that the receiver hit in the stomach and then he just dropped it. Like, sometimes it's like, God, you're just almost trying too hard.
Just on Russ, too, because Judy had a drop and you mentioned a couple of, that running back situation. It's a shovel pass. It hits him in the hands, drops it, and it's weird looking. Mm-hmm. It's just. I don't know if this team flows with Russ right now, and I don't know that Russ is flowing with the team right now. So this isn't like...
There's just no easy flow.
There's no connection. And I think Sean is trying to really work that connection, which I think that's why I think it was important. I don't care if he's going up against fours, fives, sixes, the Harlem Globetrotters. I don't care. Put Russell Wilson out there for a fourth possession. Let them finish something. Go score a touchdown. I'm glad he did that.
Well, we talk about with Russ, and he's his ability to scramble is what made him who he is. And now it's figuring out, is that purposeful scrambling, or is that, as we saw on Friday, as soon as he gets the snap and turns around, there's three linemen in his face.
And the line, I don't know if it was a mixture of McGlinchey being out, Garrett Bowles is not up to midseason form yet, the offensive line's still trying to figure it out because you got some new additions there. Dalton Reisner's gone.
There's like a play or two where they're letting the line come because they're blocking it that way, and there's just something off with the pocket is not being shaped the correct way. Russ has to form that pocket himself.
Well, Russ was the most attacked quarterback in the preseason. So far, week one, 60% of the time, man, they were blitzing the hell out of him. Jared Stidham was third. So it was Arizona. Arizona was putting the blitz on, trying to... Like you said, maybe Arizona wants to see what that pass rush looks like. They were pretty bad at that last year, right? So they were really trying to get some practice in on that. So that's what they were focusing on, was how do we get off blocks? How do we get off the, jump out of the gates, off the line of scrimmage? What does that look like for us?
And the Broncos, it could just be as simple as play calling. That's what we're going to work on this first quarter. I don't care about the plays on the field. I just want to make sure I can get the play to Russ, get it to the line, and we can get it in.
Yeah.
That's step one.
Get little things done that you didn't care to look at last year and see if you can actually make that part, oh, it's easy. That's a, you know, secondary nature to us just to go out and get a play call in. We're not going to worry about any of that junk that we worried about game one last year.
Well, you get one play call in. Okay, that took about 6 seconds to get that play call in. So if that's our average, that means if we need to go up tempo, I got to be right under 6 seconds to get a play call in. If we're slowing it down, I can take my time a little bit. Just because of that one play call I made, I know what to do now.
Didn't seem to have those issues in this game. It was, again, the first play of the game, ball was batted down. It's not really on Russ. That's again, the blitz was attacking. They came out early. Tom texting in, Russ looked great. He had no time. I'm still trying to figure out why the Cards blitz so much for the first preseason game. Well, first off, I'm not going to sit here and say Russ looked great.
There are times where he does have the time, and he doesn't know what to do with that time.
Yeah, I don't think he looked great. If you were taking this as a scorecard and using it, if Russell Wilson in your mind is a C-minus quarterback, then he's still a C-minus quarterback today. I don't think he did anything to improve his stock or hurt his stock. I think what he's done in training camp the last week before that helped his stock out a little bit. But I'm standing by this. I'm not taking the preseason as any kind of real assessment at this state because it's a new coach, it's a new system, it's a brand new situation. I mean, this team is trying so hard to do everything the opposite of what they did last year that you're going to see some growing pains because – You know, Hackett was a. This was a completely different style with Hackett. How they did everything. Russ wouldn't even be in this game if Hackett was still there. So I'm not in the panic mode right now. I'm not in the oh it's back mode. I'm not there. I didn't really get too strong of a sense one way or the other. I do think that Courtland Sutton and Judy though, with Sean Payton. I think those two guys are really going to benefit from Payton. And you saw that early. I mean, with their quick numbers, and Judy had the one drop, but Payton's definitely trying to get these guys involved. Courtland Sutton had 5 targets. Judy had 3. I mean, Sutton had the most targets of anybody on Friday night and ended up with 3 receptions for 35 yards, and then you had Judy with the touchdown. So I think that might be how they're really trying to make this thing work, and I think they can make it work like that. Is if Courtland Sutton is kind of he's going to be the blue-collar guy. He's going to be the guy that's getting a lot more targets and tough receptions. Jerry Jeudy might just be that guy that we saw in college, that gets out over the top of a defense and can create some big plays. He had a big play. That's how it should work. Sutton is your every play guy. He's involved somehow, needs to block better, and then Judy's going to be your big play threat. That's ideally what they're going to be going for with those two guys. And then what happens at the depth chart with the rest of the wide receivers? You know, you didn't see Marvin Mims, you know, get a reception or anything like that, but you're seeing Montrell Washington get the returns. And Mims was out. So you're hopefully going to see a third or fourth guy rise to the top in these next couple of games. Because, you know, Brandon Johnson's another name we talked about. He was questionable going into the weekend, and we'll see where he sits going forward. But I just think that there's still a lot of questions around the depth. The starters, I feel pretty confident about. Overall, I'm still curious to see what that tight end position looks like. And then, obviously, you know, if you get somebody gets hurt at the offensive line, you're in trouble. But the starters, it does look like it could be a much improved unit. Texter here, Dixon. With the money you're paying and the draft capital you gave up and his experience, QB should be the last thing you should be worrying about. Yeah, you are. Well, what do you want me to say, Dixon? You're talking about last season was a train wreck. You're trying to get him back on the right track. I get that it's not ideal. your expectations should be better for us, no question, but it is what it is. We were bamboozled last year. Whether that's really the true Russ or Nathaniel Hackett was just that bad of a coach, it was bad. So now all we can do is hope that it gets right and that that's not your concern. But yeah, Russell Wilson, based on the money and all that stuff, I wish I could tell you the expectation should be greatness, but that's not what we saw last year in Russell Wilson's first season in the NFL without wearing a Seattle Seahawks jersey. There's major concerns that Russell's still not going to get it right. There's some optimism and some hope that he does. I just didn't see enough Friday for me to come in here on a Monday and say, Russ is back, baby, or yikes, it's going to be just as bad as it was last year. The needle didn't move based on Friday. The needle moved a little bit 4 days before that throughout training camp. I got a little bit, oh, okay, it's starting to click. Sounds like he had a good day at practice today. I got to tell you, it was weird seeing Vance Joseph on the sidelines, though. Him yelling and looking all Twitter-pated and stuff. I'm like, wait, is he the head coach again? Oh, my gosh. This is bringing back flashbacks. 17 minutes after the hour. Well, on the other side of this, I want to talk about, I'm going to go back into the CU thing, the Colorado Buffaloes thing. And there is an interesting dynamic brewing in Boulder. And we had talked to we had talked to Brian a little bit about his tweet and how it was primetime fans that were really coming after him and some pretty nasty stuff being said to him. Is this a cause for concern, this? Well, there's primetime fans and there's Buffs fans. Are the Buffs? I mean, winning cures everything. But what happens with losing? I want to talk about this dynamic coming up. 18 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKI.
Have Friday night plans? We do. KFKA's Game of the Week, presented by A1 Organics.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Mondays at Cables Pub and Grill, all-you-can-eat spaghetti for just $5.95. You can't beat it. This is my favorite spot. It's my go-to. If I'm not here at the studio or out meeting people, I am at Cables or home, probably. That's another one. Or in the backyard working. There's a good chance I'm at Cables, though, if I'm not in any other places. Or at practice watching something somewhere. But yes, Cables, right there in the mix. It's my favorite restaurant. The beer is ridiculously great. The deals are wonderful. And I've never had a bad meal there. That's Cables Pub and Grill, where my friends meet. Speaking of Kevin Lytle there on that little rejoin you heard, Rams Weekly returns on Thursdays at 5 o'clock with myself and Kay Light, Kevin Lytle, talk all things CSU. And boy, it's tame these days talking about Colorado State.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't Brian's situation make my situation look like nothing?
Yeah, that's like, you know, nobody kindergartner didn't share at snack time.
That's what mine was. Brady, you said CSU's waiting for a phone call, you idiot. And then Brian tweets out that this guy that left CU doesn't get to play this year because his coach wouldn't let him play. And then Brian got like 300,000 views and a lot of really mean tweets. I had some mean tweets, but not like Brian's.
Nothing
like that.
Overly insulting.
No, in fact, most of them are fans of the show and they just call me that stuff anyway, even when they like me. You know, so what Brian, is it fun to cover primetime, I wonder?
God, no.
Do you think Brian's job is less fun than it was last year?
I think it's fun in the sense you get to do something that no other reporter's really doing and, you know, get to talk to someone as entertaining as Prime is. And as a journalist, that's fun because you know you're always going to have a story. But
if you slip up, you're in trouble.
If you slip up.
Well, he said primetime.
We're already seeing, like, it's very tough to criticize Deion Sanders, not just because of who he is as a person and his name, but the color of his skin comes up. And if you criticize Prime,
saw that in some of the tweets,
the racist allegations will be thrown at you.
Well, Brian did say that primetime brought it up at the press conference and then did talk to Brian and basically told him, that he should have worded it differently, the tweet. That's tough, man. It's not a good look. I mean, you don't want that.
Did Prime see that tweet himself, or did someone show that?
Somebody probably saw it and then showed him. And now Brian's on his radar, I would imagine.
Yikes.
I'm just saying, like, Brian is not giving me any of this information. I'm just, I honestly saw his tweet. Didn't think a whole lot. It was like, damn, that sucks for that kid. That's awful. And blah, blah, blah. Moved on. And then I just saw, like, a certain Buffs tweet. Everybody was ripping him to shreds on some stuff. And I was like, what? From what tweet? And then I went back, and that was the tweet. It blew me away. So I think we need to stop being so sensitive about this. If you're going to play a big game of coming in, saying I'm bringing Louie and cutting people, and same's going to be said for CSU. If you want to be at a big-time conference and all that stuff, you got to get some freaking Teflon skin, because it's time. You got to start being a little bulletproof here. We're talking big football in the state. I've been preaching that for years on my show. And now we're getting a whiff of what it might be with primetime and potentially CSU going to the Pac, whatever the hell it is. And yet we can't take tweets. We got to get stronger, folks. If we want big-time football, you got to take big-time criticism. What did we learn today coming up in the next segment on the whole show, powered by PD's Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Mondays at Cables Pub and Grill, all-you-can-eat spaghetti for just $5.95. You can't beat it. This is my favorite spot. It's my go-to. If I'm not here at the studio or out meeting people, I am at Cables or home, probably. That's another one. Or in the backyard working. There's a good chance I'm at Cables, though, if I'm not in any other places. Or at practice watching something somewhere. But yes, Cables, right there in the mix. It's my favorite restaurant. The beer is ridiculously great. The deals are wonderful. And I've never had a bad meal there. That's Cables Pub and Grill, where my friends meet. Speaking of Kevin Lytle there on that little rejoin you heard, Rams Weekly returns on Thursdays at 5 o'clock with myself and Kay Light, Kevin Lytle, talk all things CSU. And boy, it's tame these days talking about Colorado State.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't Brian's situation make my situation look like nothing?
Yeah, that's like, you know, nobody kindergartner didn't share at snack time.
That's what mine was. Brady, you said CSU's waiting for a phone call? You idiot. And then Brian tweets out that this guy that left CU doesn't get to play this year because his coach wouldn't let him play? And then Brian got like 300,000 views and a lot of really mean tweets. I had some mean tweets, but not like Brian's.
Nothing
like that.
Overly insulting.
No, in fact, most of them are fans of the show, and they just call me that stuff anyway, even when they like me. You know, so what Brian, is it fun to cover primetime, I wonder?
God, no.
Do you think Brian's job is less fun than it was last year?
I think it's fun in the sense you get to do something that no other reporter's really doing, and, you know, get to talk to someone as entertaining as Prime is, and as a journalist, that's fun because you know you're always going to have a story. But
if you slip up, you're in trouble.
If you slip up.
Well, he said primetime.
We're already seeing, like, it's very tough to criticize Deion Sanders, not just because of who he is as a person and his name, but the color of his skin comes up. And if you criticize Prime,
saw that in some of the tweets,
the racist allegations will be thrown at you.
Well, Brian did say that primetime brought it up at the press conference. And then did talk to Brian and basically told him that he should have worded it differently, the tweet. That's tough, man. It's not a good look. I mean, you don't want that.
Did Prime see that tweet himself, or did someone show that?
Somebody probably saw it and then showed him. And now Brian's on his radar, I would imagine.
Yikes.
I'm just saying, like, Brian is not giving me any of this information. I'm just, I honestly saw his tweet. Didn't think a whole lot. It was like, damn, that sucks for that kid. That's awful. And blah, blah, blah. Moved on. And then I just saw like a certain Buffs tweet. Everybody was ripping him to shreds on some stuff, and I was like, "What? From what tweet?" And then I went back, and that was the tweet. It blew me away. So I think we need to stop being so sensitive about this. If you're going to play a big game of coming in, saying I'm bringing Louis and cutting people, and same's going to be said for CSU. If you want to be at a big-time conference and all that stuff, you got to get some freaking Teflon skin, because it's time. You got to start being a little bulletproof here. We're talking big football in the state. I've been preaching that for years on my show. And now we're getting a whiff of what it might be with primetime and potentially CSU going to the Pac, whatever the hell it is. And yet we can't take tweets. We got to get stronger, folks. If we want big time football, you got to take big time criticism. What did we learn today coming up in the next segment on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
Welcome back into the show. What did we learn on this 14th day of August? Today's the first day that I really feel like there's some cracks at the surface in Boulder with primetime. Now, again, there was all this talk of my realistic expectations and what I thought was going to happen. But Brian's a guy that's close to the show, and so I know him. And to see how people attacked him for that tweet, that's a little alarming to me. Just a little bit. That maybe is better defining Buffs fans and primetime fans. Red flag. Although we can't say the word red. Around Boulder.
So maroonish.
Yeah.
Almost a little crimson in there kind of flag.
Crimson flag.
Yeah, it's kind of show, you know, when the cards are down, people will show you their true colors, and you're starting to see it a little bit that maybe these true colors aren't black and gold. And they're just whatever colors he's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do no wrong in terms of primetime. And we'll see when the wins and losses start racking up in the columns, we'll find out where these fans are.
When the truth is, it's like, I always say this for radio, Angel. You know me, my old adage. The best teams to talk about are either really good teams or really bad teams. But the truth is, the Buffs are going to be right in the middle of that. Mm-hmm. They're going to actually be a pretty lame story. Now, 5 wins would be like, whoa, 5 from 1 to 5, that's a damn good improvement. But still, in the context of everything, they're not an appealing story like the big-time guys and all these other guys trying to move around at conferences.
Well, if they stumble early, how are they going to be able to keep that same hype up when you get to late October, November, December?
They have such a tough schedule, too. Like, that's why you got to just be realistic here. This is not... I'm sorry if you guys are just counting CSU as a win, but I would be careful there. I think that's going to be a good game. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I you shouldn't count Nebraska as just a win either. Which could happen. And TCU, I mean, they've got things to guys to replace and stuff, but all right, so
I'm still not writing them off.
No, I mean, when you're that good, you typically get
you don't think they're hungry to get back to the championship even though they got blasted by Georgia?
Yeah, they got blasted. But yes, they could get back there and you pick up good players. What did I ask you? What did you learn?
You didn't. I learned that Aaron Gordon and Jokic are best of friends.
Oh, yeah.
And also that Elijah Dotson is a UNC great. And he may get on an NFL team.
He looks a hell of a lot faster than a 4.5 40. I'm going to tell you that right now.
It's amazing when you get an offensive lineman that works.
The way he turned that corner... I mean, my goodness, that was speed there. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.